And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his house was there, and there he also judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. So far God's word. I'd encourage you, brothers and sisters, to keep his word open before you as we work our way through this passage this morning. But let's ask God, first of all, for a blessing on his word. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we've just sung about the benefit, the blessing of your word, the guidance that they are, how they restore light to our eyes, how they show us how we should go, how we are to desire your word more than stores of finest gold, than honey from the comb, how we are to listen to its warnings. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may listen this morning. Open our hearts to your word. Press your word against our hearts. Work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, we pray. Indeed, let the words of my mouth and the meditations, the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sometimes when you go on holiday, when you go on a journey, you like to pick up a memento, a little token of something, at what you've done, where you've been, or what you've accomplished. Every year, a group of people in one of our churches organises a coast-to-coast. You travel from one side to the other and end up at Sumner Beach. And as you do so, one of the things you're supposed to do is pick up a little stone on the west coast. And you pick up that stone, you dip it in the water. This isn't the actual stone, but this is about the size of the stone. You don't want to take a bigger stone because you've got to carry that with you a couple hundred kilometres. But I took the stone, and then when I got to the east coast, I dipped it in the water as a memento of the journey that I had travelled. Well, here in our story, Samuel also gives the people of Israel a memento, now much bigger than this little pebble that I have in my hand this morning. Now he puts up a big, massive stone, a stone by the name Ebenezer, a stone of help to be a witness, to be a testimony of how God has helped the people of Israel. And as Michaela has made her testimony before us this morning, we also see that we are to be a witness to how God has helped us. And that's our theme this morning. That's the main idea I want us to take away this morning from this passage. As we look at God's help of the people of Israel and also God's help for us, we are called to be a witness to God's help for us. We are called to witness God's help for us. And as that's in the bulletin for you to follow along. Maybe at some stage, hopefully that'll pop on the screen, up on the screen there for you as well. But it's there in the bulletin to follow the points as we go along. There it goes. Our first point this morning is that Samuel sacrifices. Samuel sacrifices. Last week we concentrated on verses 2 through 4 of chapter 7. And we saw there a pattern for repentance. Samuel said in verse 3, "If you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only." We saw that was a pattern for our own lives, turning away from our own selfish desires, our own little gods, the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, helping us to turn to God, to ask him for forgiveness and serve him and follow him alone. And this morning in our passage, we see that the people of Israel do just that. We were reminded last Sunday that it's not only us individually as people that need to repent before God, we also need to consider as a church, what are some of the areas in our life where we are not showing the love of Jesus Christ, and perhaps we should, as a church body. And this morning we see the people of Israel take action, because that was the key idea last week. Repentance isn't just simply saying sorry, it means acting. It means doing something. It means serving God when we repent before him. So Samuel calls the people of Israel together. Verse 5 of chapter 7. "Gather all Israel at Mizpah and I will pray to the Lord for you." The people have changed hearts. They are truly repentant. Verse 6. "They draw water and they pour it out before the Lord." They fasted. They went without food on that day. Now, exactly what that pouring out means, we're not sure. What it signified, well, we know what it signifies, but the actual symbology is hard to determine. What it's saying, however, is that the people are sorry. They are pouring out their hearts before God. They confess their sins to him. But straight away they face a test. The Philistines hear of what's happening, how the people are gathering together in one place, and to the Philistines this smells like a rebellion. So they get their army together. They come and walk down, march down to Mizpah. And Israel hears it and they're scared. But this time, they get it right. In the past we've seen, they try to bring the ark out to try and manipulate God to do what they wanted. But here they fall down on their knees. They repent of their sin before God, and in fact they ask Samuel, verse 8, "Pray for us, Samuel. Don't stop praying. Plead with God before us that he will help us." They throw themselves at the mercy of God. "Help us, God. We need you." And Samuel does just that. He prays, he offers a sacrifice to the Lord. The people are sorry. Their hearts are changed. And Samuel here stands in the gap for the people of Israel. He acts as a mediator for them. He sacrifices a lamb, we read. Verse 9, "He took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord." This is a sacrifice. As every single sacrifice for the people of Israel did, that points to the sacrifice. To the lamb who was sacrificed, the lamb who sacrificed himself for the sins of every single person that believes in him. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, who we recognize and remember this morning in the Lord's Supper. Because in Jesus Christ, we have our Ebenezer. We have our stone of help. We have our rock of help. as we come to him, as we recognize that we are sinners, that we need his help, as we acknowledge our sin and we throw ourselves at his mercy, he brings us help. Michaela has said this morning before us as a church, as her friends, I am a sinner. I need God. I believe that Jesus Christ died to save and pay for my sins. My sins, she has said. Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you acknowledged your sins? Have you come before Jesus Christ and asked him for mercy? Do you acknowledge this morning that you need to be saved? Can you say this morning, Jesus Christ's sacrifice is for me? Samuel sacrifices on behalf of the people of Israel. Samuel cries out, as instructed to do so by the people, cries to God for help, and God answers in a big way. And that's our second point this morning. God delivers. Now, God's timing is always impeccable, isn't it? He answers just in the nick of time. Verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. You can just see the people of Israel, come on, Samuel, hurry it up. They can hear the army marching. They can hear the swords and the shields clanging. They can see the Philistines approaching. But then God steps in. God speaks, and he speaks in a powerful way. He speaks in a thunderstorm. Second half of verse 10, but the Lord thundered with a mighty sound. Boys and girls, have you ever been in a thunderstorm? A really, really big one. You know, when you hear the sound and all the walls and the windows are rattling? And you've got all the curtains closed and you're tucked up under the bed covers. And even then you can still see because the light of the lightning. Just imagine being out in a field in the middle of that. And that's what God brought to the Philistines. And it threw them into confusion. It had the desired effect. God delivers the people of Israel. The Philistines were defeated, we read in the second half of verse 10, before Israel. God answered the prayers of his people. He delivered them. The people of Israel went on to challenge and pursue the Philistines, striking them and conquering them. We read in verse 13, the Philistines were subdued, didn't bother the territory of Israel while Samuel was judge. More than that, there was also peace between Israel and the Amorites. God brought victory. God answered their prayer. He delivered the people of Israel. And in doing so, Samuel bears witness. Verse 12, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, till now the Lord has helped us. The Lord has helped us. Now, what Samuel wasn't just talking about this one event here. That's why he says there, till now the Lord has helped us. It's a bit of a strange phrase, isn't it? It's translated literally here in the ESV. But what Samuel's actually saying, what he's doing, is he's taking the people of Israel down memory lane. He's saying, I want you to think, people of Israel, when you see the stone, what has God done for you? What has God done for you as a nation? Can you remember your ancestors in Egypt and slavery? Can you remember how patient God was with you through those 40 long years in the desert? Can you remember how time and time again over the last 100 years or so, how God came and delivered and rescued you? How God stuck with you through the good and the bad. How he never gave up on you. When you see the stone, Samuel said, I want you to remember that God is your help. We need that reminder too, brothers and sisters. We need that reminder of God's deliverance to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus knew we needed that reminder. That's why we have the Lord's Supper, to remind us of what Christ's body and blood has done for us. That because of Jesus Christ, if we believe in him, we can never, ever be more right with him. Because of Jesus Christ, every single one of our sins are covered by his blood. Jesus Christ is our deliverance. He is our Ebenezer. He is our rock of help. And because of Jesus Christ, our Father promises, Jesus promises that if we belong to him, he will never, ever let us go. God delivered the people of Israel. God delivers us. And we can trust in him. We can praise him for what he has done for us. But it's easy to say when things are going well, isn't it? What about the bad times? What about through grief? What about through bad health? Do you know what I'm facing this morning, Albert? Do you know the trials and the struggles that I'm having? It's not that easy to trust God then, is it? But exactly during those times, exactly when you're going through those times, that's where you need this reminder the most. That's where you need to take that trip through memory lane to look at Ebenezer and remind yourself of how God has helped you and what it means to be in Jesus Christ. That God has worked in your life. He has brought you to this point. He has helped you till now. And yes, because he has helped you, he will continue to do so. He will continue to provide you help. And that brings us to our final point this morning. God leads. God leads. God led the people of Israel through Samuel. For a number of chapters in the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel's been absent. The people of Israel have gone their own way. But now Samuel reappears. Here in chapter 7, he leads the people of Israel. Under his leadership, there's peace for the people of Israel as long as Samuel lives. You see, God didn't just stop at this victory here as the Philistines are routed out of the land. No, God continued to guide, lead, and support the nation of Israel through Samuel. Now, Michaela at the moment is learning to drive. Now, no, I promise Michaela I'm not going to tell any driving stories. But Michaela got her learner's license. And we didn't just say to Michaela, well, that's it. Off you go, darling. Good luck. We hope you do well. Please don't crash. And left her to it. Now, we gave her some lessons. Even better, Jerry is giving her some lessons to undo all of my mistakes. And she's learning, with guidance, how to drive. It's a process that she needs support in doing. And God is like that for us too, brothers and sisters. He gave the people of Israel Samuel. He gives them guidance and direction. They needed someone to remind them of who Ebenezer was and what Ebenezer does. It's not like that we become saved in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ and God the Father say, good luck. You're saved now, your sins are forgiven, good luck, get on with the rest of your life. Now the Holy Spirit continues to work in us. It's an ongoing process of making Jesus Christ ours, of molding us and shaping us, making us more like Jesus Christ. And it's a process until the day we die. Michaela's made this direct declaration before us this morning, but that doesn't mean that she's made it. That she's committed her life to Jesus Christ and she's professed that before us here publicly, and now she can go on and live the rest of her life, whatever she chooses and however she wants. No, it's an ongoing process. It's a continuing process, a process in all of us. We need to keep coming back to Jesus Christ. Keep coming back to our Ebenezer, living before him, asking for his help. Because when we try and get through life on our own, when we try and do things on our own, that's when we're asking for trouble. Yet we try, don't we? I'm sure you've heard the saying, when all else fails, and only when all else fails, read the instructions. You men especially, or no, actually probably the wives more, the men are living in denial, but you wives know exactly what we're talking about. But that's how we can live our Christian life. We can try and get through life on our own abilities, try and use our own strength, our own ability, our own wit, our own cleverness. But it just gets us into more mess. When we trust ourselves rather than God, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. We trust God, or we trust ourselves rather than God to raise our children, to go through life, to deal with grief, to solve the crises that we face. And then only when we get ourselves into so much trouble, only when the waters are over our heads, then we go, oh, maybe I need to turn to God. No, instead, God should be our first call. Our first thing we should do is go to God, our rock, to our Ebenezer, and say, Lord, help me. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. In fact, I know if I try to deal with it, I'm going to make just a bigger mess. Help me, Lord. Save me from myself. Does that mean if we bring it before God that he'll make it go away? That he'll remove our cancer? That he'll heal our hurts, be it physical, mental, or spiritual? That God will just like that make our children perfect? Most likely not. But what it does mean, is that as we walk through the trials in life, we never, ever need to walk those paths alone. Because of Ebenezer, because of Jesus Christ, we have his promise that he will never leave us. And Jesus will walk with us every single step of the way. He'll get down in the mud and crawl with us when we are stuck and in trouble. That's the promise of Ebenezer to us. Can God make our trials go away? Yes, he can. He does sometimes. But he also promises that if he doesn't take those trials away, he will be with us every step of the way. So how about you? Are you learning and leaning on God, on your rock? Are you depending on him? Are you treating God like an AA membership? You know, you pay the subscription, you pay your yearly fee, and then you hope you never ever need to deal with them for that year. But yet when you get a flat tire or when the battery runs out, that's when you call the AA. Is that how you treat God? No, instead, the call this morning, the challenge, the encouragement is to go first and foremost, to go regularly, to go often to your God in prayer, to thank him for his help, to ask him for his continued help. God helps us. He has helped us in Jesus Christ. He continues to help us in our life. We can depend on him. But as I want to finish with you this morning, I want you to take away a final thought as we draw all of this in together. God's deliverance, God's leading in our lives. What did Samuel do with the rock that he called Ebenezer? Did he take this big rock home and put it in that spare room under the bed, you know, where you keep all of the junk and the trophies and the trinkets? Did he hide that rock there? Now what he did with Ebenezer is he took this rock and he placed it on the highway. Think of that bridge that you see by the airport. You can't miss that bridge if you're anywhere near it in Christchurch, can you? Well, that's what Ebenezer is. It's meant there as a reminder. It's meant there as a testimony and a witness of what God had done for the people of Israel. Michaela did her profession of faith before us this morning. And it wasn't too bad, was it, Michaela? It wasn't too bad, no. Because we're a very nice, gentle crowd, aren't we? But the challenge for Micaiah, the challenge for all of us, is to take what God has done for us, to take his help and go and tell others about it. To be a witness to how he's helped us. To go out and proclaim the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what Ebenezer is. God has helped us, and telling others how God has helped us. Bringing the message of Jesus Christ. Offering the help of Jesus Christ to others. Saying, this is what Jesus has done for me. Can I tell you about it? Can I show you? Living the light. Showing the light of Jesus Christ. Pointing people to Ebenezer. Has God helped you, brothers and sisters? I ask the question and I just see blank faces. Has God helped you, brothers and sisters? I see a few nods, yes. If God has helped you, then bear witness to that. Not just here in church, not just to your brothers and sisters, but to a community, to a world that's full of darkness, that so needs to hear the message of help and hope. Will you do that? Will you bring that message of hope, that witness of your Ebenezer? That's God's challenge to you this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you have given us help. We thank you for the help of our Ebenezer, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice for us. We thank you also that you knew that we needed that reminder. That because of the weakness of our faith, because of our struggles, you give us the Lord's Supper to remind us visually of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't take our help, our Ebenezer, and hide it under our bed at home. Keep it to ourselves, but help us, challenge us to go and bring the message of hope, of the fact that you are an Ebenezer, that you are a stone, a rock of help. Help us to bring that message to others. Lord, as we go through times and trials in life, and many of us are going through those trials at the moment, some of us have trials that no one else knows about. Lord, we need that reminder this morning. Help us to turn to you, to lean on you, to plead to you for your help. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that though you may not take the trial away, you do promise us that every single step of the way, every single stumble, every single crawl that we do, you are with us. We thank you for that. May that in itself, the way that you carry us through our troubles, help us to bear witness to others. Use us, we pray, to tell others about how you are our rock of help. How you are our hope and our salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now and reaffirm that promise too with the words of number 496. O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. And as we say here, we recognize that life is a struggle, that there are trials. So let's stand and sing these words together, number 496.